Welcome to East to West WLS, the podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April, and I'm the West.
And I'm Jason, and I'm the East.
Today, we are joined by TikTok queen extraordinaire, Catherine, the bariatric queen herself. Hi, friend.
Hi.
We are so excited to talk to you today. And just based on the conversation that we had before we hit record, this is going to be straight fire. It is, oh my gosh. So the reason that we love following you is because, well, your TikToks are amazing. Your videos are so informative. And really, every time I watch your videos, and I know that Jason does this too, we get new ideas, but you really show us that meal planning and meal prep after bariatric surgery does not need to be complicated. It can be done with a little bit of like forward thinking and with the most simplest of ingredients.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the best part. You know,
I mean,
it's simple.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, kick ass. So we're very excited to like pick your brain and just really learn your system or learn how you do things a little bit more. And then of course, get to know you as a human and a bariatric patient on top of all the other things.
Yes.
So a little bit of house cleaning before we really get into our conversation. If listening to a podcast is not your favorite way of learning, we do record this in Zoom. And if you're already watching us, we are adorable humans. We are very animated when we talk. So head over to our YouTube channel. You can find us by searching East, the number 2, West _ WLS. And our channel will pop up. All of our podcast episodes are there. Virtual bariatric meetups are there. Some recipe prep and idea, and just some other like helpful videos and stuff like that. So definitely subscribe, like, follow the channel, and you will be the first one to know when new episodes drop. So, okay, now that my house cleaning is out of the way, Catherine, will you give us just a very brief introduction of kind of who you are, what type of weight loss surgery procedure you had, and why you're so passionate about supporting this community?
Yeah, well, first, I probably should introduce my name to everybody. My name is Catherine. A lot of people always wonder who I really am. You know, I'm a teacher outside of TikTok, Instagram. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Educators unite.
Yeah. And, you know, the weight loss surgery I had was the bariatric sleeve. When I was 25, that's when I started going through the process, and my doctor actually started the conversation. And she basically was like, when you turn 30, if you continue going at the weight you have now, you are going to have heart failure. I had pre-hypertension, I was pre-diabetic, a long list of other things that were caused by my weight. And she was like, we could do the band, but then the band almost always results into a sleeve. So let's just go right to the sleeve from the beginning. And, you know, from there, I kind of just followed her. I didn't even know really these procedures. They weren't really like a part of my life like they are now. And I wasn't actively seeking weight loss surgery. But the health is what really, really scared me in the long run. You know, I'm 25 now, 5 years from now, when I'm 30, you're telling me I'm going to have heart failure? Okay, let's get this going.
Time to do something.
Time to do something.
Yes. Wow. Okay. So what year was your procedure?
I was 2015.
Okay. Oh, yes. So you've been sleeved now for 6 years.
Okay. No, five. So 2016.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I think 2016.
Okay.
I know. Oh. But yeah, I just hit my 5th year this year. Okay. My 5th year. But yes, I have been sleeved that long. So, and this year I am 30 now. So, I know, but, it's a long road. I mean, you're not done yet fighting your battle of obesity. Just because you have surgery does not mean you're done. You are fighting this now the rest of your life.
Well, and based on, you know, conversations that we've had with my, so I see a bariatric therapist, her name is Wendy Rowling. She's amazing. And one of the most devastating and enlightening conversations that I've had with her came when she kind of broke the numbers down for me. And she was like, look, you have a 50% chance of regaining some or all of your weight up to 2 years after surgery. And you need to get to year 7 before that drops down to the single digits. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, I had the surgery so that I would never have to think about or worry about this again. So now you're telling me I need to do this big work for 7 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just wanted to like knock her out. I was so angry. I was so mad. But it's true, right? Like, it's one thing to have the surgery and now we have a tool. But if you're not utilizing that tool actively every single day, it's not going to matter. You're going to regain your weight, right? And as we have really come to understand at East to West, there's really three components to long-term success. It's mindset, metabolic wellness, and movement. And those three M's are kind of like the big pillars to your lasting success. And it's not that we're talking about a goal weight or a goal size. We're talking about us getting to a healthy weight and to metabolic wellness, right? So when we go to the doctor and they draw our blood and they take our numbers, they actually don't say anything because we're within the healthy range, right? That's the goal.
Yeah.
And oh my God, the work that that takes is monumental. But if I really think about the work that I was doing before weight loss surgery, it's the same level of effort. It's just instead of battling my weight and all of those things, I'm still battling it, but in a different way. It's the work is the work effort is the same. I'm just working at a different job, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's a different style of work too. You know, it's a different effort.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well,
and it actually takes a lot less brain functionality. It's not as hard on our brain as it was before because we were so bogged down with thoughts of where the next meal and what the biggest meal and what the more calories and all that that we could do. This one, you know, post-op, you have a lot more of your brain function there and capable of you to do harder work and it not feel as monumental as it was before. So, you know, it does sound like it's a lot of work, but it's a little easier on us than it was before.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. 100%. And I used to eat 3 meals a day before weight loss surgery. And now I've adapted to the minimum of 5 to 6. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm eating 8 times a day. And that's the concept that if we could all get behind, you wouldn't need to feel like you need to eat 3 huge meals a day. Mm-hmm. And you'll balance out your blood sugars. You'll balance out your hunger cravings. You'll just, you won't feel starving, which causes overeating. And which causes, you know, even after surgery, that regain to come back.
Yes.
Well, and it also, when people mention, you know, how they get the afternoon or the evening where they get real snacky and they start feeling like they've just got to do stuff and their whole day breaks down because they're like, oh, I had a handful of this or I had some of this and I fell off the whole day's shot because I did it. And, you know, that 5 to 8 small meal situation knocks all that out. Because you're not going to be snacking. You're not even going to think about snacking because you're eating something that's more fulfilling than a snack could possibly be. And April and I talked about this, I think, I don't remember if it was the last episode or the episode before, but it was, you know, people almost overeat snacking because what they settle for may not be what they really want. And so they get something, some of this, and it's not what they want. So they try to, you know, get some of this and that's not it. And eventually they go for what they really want. And by the time they get there, they're cram packed full of snacks. And now they, you know, they really have, you know, made it kind of blown that whole time frame. You know, they can still kind of rebalance at dinner or whatever if they have enough room for that later. But, you know, that's the type of things that we really want that 5 to 8 meal can knock out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it gives you like how I look at it as I bring my breakfast, 2 snacks, lunch and dinner with me when I'm teaching in the building. It's everything's coming with me. And this is to avoid feeling like I'm starving and I need to go get something because I am kind of like a snacker and a grazer after bariatric surgery. I can't just sit and eat my whole plate all at once. I pick and go, but I can pick and go for my controlled meal prep. I can pick and go from my controlled, already measured, already sized day. Mm-hmm. And that has been the best success to staying in maintenance for me.
Hey, it's April with East to West WLS. I don't know about you, but after I dropped a significant amount of weight, my body just didn't feel like my own, and I needed help feeling like it was my own again. So I started receiving chiropractic care. If you live in the Tacoma area, I cannot recommend Grit City Chiro more. Dr. McKenzie is passionate about helping you feel, function, and live better. Check out her Instagram at Grit City Chiro or her website, gritcitychiropractic.com, for more info and to book your first consultation. And if you mention East to West, you'll get a discount on your first visit. I feel amazing after seeing her, and I think you will too.
So. Interesting. Yeah. Well, and I think it takes a while to get your brain there because you just don't want to admit that that's how this is going to have to be. But yeah. I think once you accept that this is your new reality, it makes the process a little bit easier, and it gives you another reason to meal prep and plan and to really think about what you're going to be consuming, you know, for that day. Yeah. And to know that, you know, we often talk about these controlled eating events versus these or planned versus unplanned eating events. And having an unplanned eating event is not a bad thing, but yeah. if that's how you're always eating, it is going to turn into a bad thing because yeah. that's how you're going to regain your weight. Right. So it's one thing, you know, our goal is to always eat a planned meal, but if something comes up in life, we should have the flexibility and ability to enjoy what we want to enjoy, but oh, yeah. there has to be a balance of that. And if we're thinking about our food and our meal prep and our meal plan, then we're going to be in a much better spot after surgery. Yeah.
You'll be ready. You'll be prepared.
Yes. Yes.
Well, and, yeah. and it's about setting yourself up for the success, because you've got two ways. You can set yourself up to fail, or you can set yourself up to succeed. And yeah. if you take everything with you so you don't have the option to fail, then 9 times out of 10, you're going to go for that because you remember the effort you put into it. You know that it's there for you. And it really breaks down that decision-making of, well, I have this here ready to go, or I can jump on, you know, the bandwagon to everybody around me and go do whatever they're doing. But then that's extra work that you have to do when you already put in the work over here.
Yep.
So it just, it you almost steer yourself to make the better decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you just don't want to go back to that life that led you to bariatric surgery anyway, you know?
Yes.
You have one stomach, you can't really get a second surgery. I know some doctors do revisions, but you want to avoid that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Okay. This is going to be a kick ass conversation, if I do say so myself. Yeah. All right, you guys, are you ready to dive in?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
All right, let's do it. All right. So, Catherine, kind of at the beginning of our episodes, we like to give our guests kind of the floor to just let our listeners and followers know kind of who you are. So how did you arrive to be the person that you are today?
That's a good question. So, you know, with going through the weight loss decision, that was more something that I made a life saving decision where it was going to save my life. But believe it or not, now that I'm 5 years past weight loss surgery, the surgery is the easiest part. The mm-hmm. hardest part is your brain, your mm-hmm. food addiction, your overcoming newer addictions that could possibly come. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of what fueled me to start my Instagram. So my Instagram came first, and I would just take a picture of my plate and of my food. And I would just post it. And then I, you know, 5 years ago, I started noticing, okay, there's these hashtags. Okay. What is a hashtag? Let me start using them. Okay. Yeah. Then, I started when I moved to Virginia, which is where I do live now, and I'm still at the same school I was when I first got hired. I noticed that if I was not planned and prepared, I just went to McDonald's. And I was like, I'm still losing weight. I just went to McDonald's. Let me just quickly get a little wrap, a small fry, a kid meal. And I would wake up and I still lost weight. But then I was like, I am not getting rid of my habits. I am not like I'm losing weight and I'm eating out, and but I'm this isn't always going to be like this, you know. Year one is the honeymoon phase, and it's not going to, it's going to catch up. And that's when I realized I need to start prepping everything all the way to the dinner. And I then just started taking pictures of it and posting it on Sunday, but with no guidance, no prep, just, hey, here's what I'm eating. You know, here's my whole week.
Yeah.
Kind of accountability for me, just like, hey, here we go. But that turned into so many people requesting, well, what are you eating? What are your macros? Well, what is your size? You know, all the questions that everybody wants answered. So that's where I did switch to the blog 2 years ago. I was like, you know what? Let me just do it. I had no money. I put it on a credit card and I said, I'm just going to do it because I can't text 27 people my entire 5 days of eating.
Yes.
So I need a plate.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So I researched, I made sure I chose the correct website. I know that, you know, I can get set up on all these other different things to help possibly make an income. And that's what led me to my blog, is just the questions. But what led me to TikTok is my student. She was like, Miss Byrne, you know, you need to get on a TikTok. Come on. I was like, I can't dance and shake anything. Like, I don't know what I'm shaking. Like, I can't. And she was just like, this is right before the pandemic hit. And she was just like, no, you can cook. Like, you can do your stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my goodness. Okay. So from there, TikTok told me what they wanted. I posted a stuffing a box of here's what I'm taking to the beach, and I blew up. Like followers, views.
Oh yeah.
And yes. I'm like, oh, so this is what they want. Because I was making these in the beginning. I was even doing some Disney recreating meals. They didn't want that. They wanted, you know, my controlled portion sizes. Mm-hmm. Well, then I was like, I'm already meal prepping anyway. Why am I not filming it?
Yes.
So that's what led to filming my meal preps on TikTok. And from then on, it has just been pretty awesome, you know, with how far.
It's insane. So I just pulled up, your TikTok, and you have 346,000 followers.
Yes. And I'm on my way to 2 million likes. I love it. And then this past meal prep, the one I was supposed to do for convenience, that did just get 1.4 million views. So, you know, TikTok has changed my life. You know, it's
incredible. Helping
in a little bit more income than my teacher salary.
Yeah, I would imagine. Well, and what Jason and I appreciate about your video, just everything that you put out, is it's real. And I think we all know what we mean when we say that. It's not polished. It isn't edited. It isn't like angled lighting. I mean, it's just like, welcome to my kitchen. Here's how I'm making meals for the week. Yeah. Awesome. Great. Thank you. Cause I want to see how a real person does this shit. I don't want to see how somebody that's got a team of people does it. I want to see how a teacher who is busy gets her ish together.
Yeah. And you know what? I did have the opportunity to get all of those bougie things, I would probably never pay anybody to film, because you can control that with your own remote controls, but you can go that route. And I kind of just said, no, I get a lot of feedback of being real is why people follow me. They follow me because it's not my job. It's my lifestyle. Yeah. And you know, it kind of gives them the, okay, we can do this.
You know? Well, and the other thing that you show too is, well, I wanted to try this and I thought it would work and it didn't. Mm-hmm. And then that's it. It's no justifying. It's just like, but that's life, right? Yeah. We have to try things and then see if they work or not. And you almost never see that didn't work. You ever see like your whole food shopping thing? I was like, oh girl, you should have called me before you went there, because I could have told you that. But it was so refreshing to see.
Yeah, well, living outside of Washington, D.C., you know, they're very picky with what they allow in the, you know, metropolitan area. And I mean, that's why I'm not near a Walmart. I don't, it's 20, 30 minutes away from me. I'll go to the Walmart by my school. But we have like 7 Aldis, 3 or 4 Trader Joe's, a handful of Whole Foods, and just a lot of other like littler stores and a lot of other different cultural, you know, cultural stores that, you know, different pockets of different communities have. So I was like, oh, Whole Foods, you know, I hear a lot of people shop there.
Whole paycheck? You mean whole paycheck?
Oh my God. Never again. I mean, it was great though. I mean,
oh, the store's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And the the quality of food that they have, unparalleled.
Well, with me just constantly shopping at Aldi, I can only get what they bring. I can only get what that store has. And I'm gonna agree with a lot of people on this topic. And Aldi sometimes does not have the freshest of fruits. They sometimes do not have the freshest of vegetables, and they are limited. But what really started me meal prepping is my low income salary, living in a very, very expensive area, you know, having college debt, having, you know, all of this, I couldn't afford to even go to Walmart. And then when Aldi was across the street from my school, I did used to live next to my school. I just started going there. And I was like, oh my goodness, I just spent $25 and I have 5 days worth of food. And that's what got me hooked. And that's why on my blog, you will see sometimes a price breakdown, because there are some times where I am eating my entire day for $5. My whole day is $5.
Seriously?
Yes. There's sometimes $5 to $10 is my whole day. There's sometimes where my snacks only, or my breakfast would only cost me like 60 cents. And that's because the eggs at Aldi are only, they range between 75 cents to $1. Fruits and vegetables are so, so cheap. It's just hard because, you know, Aldi, how they package their food, it's not just let me grab 3, let me grab 4, it's let me grab whatever is packaged at the size that they have to sell it. So, you know, I don't want people to just think that my shopping list is for, you know, just Aldi the grocery store, because it's not. It's meant for, here's what I eat, here's your shopping list, you know, go to wherever you go. And here's my approximate price breakdown. If you follow this, you can have a very similar price, you know, at a grocery store, kind of in the same ballpark as Aldi. But I mean, meal prepping really started because I was so broke.
Well, and I think those details, the further breakdown between the prices and the fact that you show, you know, you won't find many people that have that many followers that will show fails. And that gives people the confidence not only to go out and say, well, you know, I make enough where I can buy this amount of food at a, you know, cost-effective shopping, you know, grocery store near me.
Yeah.
But also they need to know that somebody that's at your level will fail, and it will show the fails. So that they know, well, hell, so just because she messes up doesn't mean she can't make all these other amazing things that she has videos to make.
Yeah.
But she also makes mistakes too. So that gives, it kind of gets people to give themselves a little bit of slack in knowing that you're not just going to, you know, just because you see somebody put a meal together doesn't mean that you're going to go in the kitchen and just knock it out of the park every time. And you know, you don't just become Martha Stewart because you grab the pot and the pan. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's exactly correct. I mean, there's times where I overcook my vegetables for the whole week, but I eat them because, I mean, it's gross sometimes, but I eat it. There's some times where my food has spoiled on the second day and I'm just like, oh my goodness. But that's, that is the price you pay with shopping at Aldi, but it's, you know, spoiling so quickly because there's no chemicals, you know, they don't get the harsh chemicals. They don't spray their foods with these I don't even know what you would spray.
Preservatives.
Preservatives. So,
well, and I think what that also shows, you know, everybody is that, like, sometimes things do go wrong and sometimes you have to fall back on a plan B. That's okay. If that's happening every now and then, that's life. Like, this isn't something that is just happening to you. That's just what happens. Recipes don't turn out. You overcook something, something gets burned, whatever, right? Or it goes quicker than what you expected. But that's going to be few and far between. You can't say, well, this didn't work because it didn't work one time. No. It didn't work because of life. Like, it works 99% of the time. Yep. So we can't judge our progress, or we can't judge, you know, like, how well things are going based on the one bad thing. We have to look at it as a whole. And, you know, out of 99 things that you've prepped, one thing has gone bad.
Yeah.
That's okay, right?
Yeah, that's the thing too. I mean, my mindset before surgery was, oh, it failed, let me fail the rest of the week. Or, oh, I couldn't do it today, let me not do it today the rest of the week. No. Mm-hmm. You didn't do it for this meal. Now get up and fix the next meal. Fix the next meal that comes into your mouth. You had a bad meal. Now fix the next meal. Don't wait till Monday. No, you know, start now.
It's the all or nothing mindset that gets us in trouble. And it is a mindset that we have used for and against us for years before surgery. And if we don't recognize that we're actually using it in a way that hinders us instead of helps us, then that's mindset shift number one, I swear to God, right? Okay. Is that all or nothing?
Mindset too. And I learned the growth mindset just being a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, right? Yeah.
Carol Dweck, oh my God. How many Carol Dweck trainings have we been to?
Oh, I know. Oh my God, I know. Right.
But she's spot on, but it's true.
Yeah. But it's true. I mean, you really have to just coach yourself on, okay, I had a bad meal, or I had a bad eating, or I didn't like this recipe. But that does not mean the rest of my day I'm going out. That doesn't mean the rest of my week I need to ruin it and then start again on Monday. Your next start is your next restart is your next meal.
Yeah, that's like I said, like I like to say, nobody wins the day, wins or loses the day at breakfast. You don't win the year in January. You know, you've got the whole rest of the time to do it. Like, you just got to get right back on it. And the longer you allow yourself time to slip, the longer it's going to be before you get yourself back on track, because there's always going to be an excuse to not do it.
Oh yeah.
You got to dig down deep and move past that excuse and go back to what you really are going after.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Definitely.
Yep. Absolutely. Okay. So before we really shift to talking about all food and meal prep, I do want to ask you, I know that you are recovering from back surgery. And when I discovered that you were going through this, my brain instantly went to, I wonder if it's different after weight loss surgery, or I wonder, like, if there is a connection between your medical things that you're dealing with now and your bariatric, you know, journey. So do you want to speak to those? Are they related? Are they not related? Are things different?
Yeah. So it's 50-50. So my back surgery was because, two and a half years ago, I got into a car accident on 95, right. Coming home from Thanksgiving, a deer, I was driving up the left-hand lane and a deer came out of the median and jumped on my car.
Oh my God.
And I was going 75, 80 miles an hour. I mean, what human doesn't do 55? So, you know, I hit this huge buck head on, totaled the car. The ambulance driver was like, thank you, man, for these antlers. Oh, my dog's going to love them. He's like trying to comfort me here. I'm hyperventilating, like, oh my God. So 6 months after that, my lower back started to hurt. And, you know, I was in my new car, whatever. I kind of just thought it was the new car. I was traveling a further distance. I got a new roommate. So I was further away from my school. But then I went to the doctor and they did an x-ray on me and they were just like, oh, you have a sciatic nerve pain. So go to physical therapy for that. So I went to physical therapy for that, for sciatic nerve pain. But I tried advocating for an MRI because I have the insurance where I don't need a script. I can just say I want an MRI and I get one. But that comes at the cost of my paycheck. But and he was like, no, you don't need one. You're not going to qualify. I'm not going to give you one. And I was kind of like, at the time, I wasn't really educated on what I could say. I didn't realize I could say, no, you can't deny me this because I'm cleared no matter what.
Yeah.
And I just, I guess, continued treating sciatic nerve damage. So, you know, another year and a half goes by and I'm now getting extreme pain. So I'm doing all the stretches. Well, this January, the first Friday of this new year, I woke up completely almost paralyzed. The night before, I couldn't lay down. I couldn't stand, sit, do whatever. So went to sleep with a heating pad on, but I was like sleeping like a mummy. I couldn't roll over. I couldn't lay on my side. The next morning I woke up, I'm on Zoom running my classes, and I'm walking around my kitchen, holding my laptop, walking as like just scooting, but teaching like this. I had to have a student take over my screen just so I could hold the laptop, and she was clicking through the slides.
Oh my God.
She was clicking through the teaching. So then finally I call my principal and I'm just like, I'm going to the hospital. So I call the best ambulance yet, an Uber, and the Uber driver takes me to the best hospital he knew.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to take you here. And they were like, you're going into emergency surgery. You're one day away from being paralyzed.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. So I had two, so I taught my kids, cause I have an ESOL classroom. So I taught my kids, it's the dinosaur spike bones you feel in the back. Yeah. So, you know, like this part of your spine, the two lower back were bulging into my nerves, and cutting off nerve damage, like cutting right into the whole nervous system of the spine. And I went into an emergency surgery, and you know, the rest is history. Going through the healing process, I felt beautiful after back surgery. Mm-hmm. I woke up feeling
normal. Well, not in pain.
Yeah, I wasn't in pain at all. But you know, 2 weeks after the recovery, my sister finally goes home. She was taking care of me. I go back to work and I'm like, I can do this. I'm laying on a bed. My classroom's a laptop right now. Mm-hmm. I can go back to teach. So, you know, I do my first full week back. Then the start of the following week, I go to start cooking my meal prep and I turn around and I forgot what I was doing. I lost all memory of what I was doing. And I turn back around and it's like, my stove is on. I'm cooking and I completely forgot that I was cooking. And I was like, that's not like me. I'm not at an age yet where And so, you know, I kind of just ignore that. I sit down, drink water, I ignore it. But then I log on to school the next day and I nearly slipped into a coma on Zoom. My principals and reading teacher were in the building because they were getting things ready for us to come back. And they went and, you know, got one of my friends that was also in the building to come up to me to bring me to the ambulance. And I was admitted again into the hospital. And this time it was for my heart.
My
heart was having irregular heartbeats. I couldn't stand up without my heart convulsing. At a level where I couldn't breathe. My blood pressure dropped to 67 as the top number. And, you know, they didn't know what was going on because then they finally got fluids into me and they're like, oh, you're fine. Your heart rate's this. So let's do the sit, stand, whatever. So we did. But then they, you know, discharged me out of the hospital and my parents came down to pick me up and it just got worse. My lips were blue. My eyes dilated. I have blue eyes and my eyes turned gray. I lost all life in my face, the color, everything. My fingernails were turning blue. And anytime I had my head sitting up, whether I was sitting or standing, my heart lost control. Like my heart would just they would spasm, like as if you're having a Charlie horse in the middle of the night with your mm-hmm. waking you up out of a dead sleep. Mm-hmm. In a that's what my mm-hmm. heart was doing. And
oh my God.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't, the air was so thin. They still don't know if it was surgery related, if it was because I was so obese younger and, you know, with this surgery, my body couldn't handle it. But they're also thinking it could be long haul COVID, because last April 5th, which is my birthday, the day I turned 30, I tested positive for COVID.
Oh my God.
Birthday present. So now they're wondering if
you're a long hauler,
if I'm a long hauler, because, you know, my heart was showing that it was inflamed. The signals from my brain to my heart, they were misfiring, but they don't know. So I'm a lot better now, but if I don't drink two of these, my spells come back.
Oh, so weird.
If I don't drink two of my hydro jugs, my spells come back and my eyes dilate and I get very pale. So. Oh.
Girl, you have been through it. I didn't even know that was a thing. I couldn't drink two hydro jugs in a day.
I have a hard time. I drink about one and a half on a normal day. I should be drinking two. And they say the rule of thumb is everybody should just drink a gallon anyway, because once you do that math equation,
your weight
equals a gallon. But this has been my recovery tool. Like, wow. Medicine. They didn't give me medicine. They didn't know what was going on. But what was funny is now tying things back into the bariatric process, mm-hmm. I was so deficient in almost every type of a mineral vitamin possible. They found out that I am anemic, which we don't know if that's family related or surgery related. So I am on iron medicine. And then I just got diagnosed with hypoglycemia. So I am confirmed to have that. They do think that that is a post-surgery.
Really? Complication.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So bariatric surgery or back surgery?
Bariatric surgery. They think because the body doesn't absorb as much.
Interesting.
And of the calories. And, you know, we get so full so quick, but we don't mm-hmm. get all of those nutrients right away. So, but then on top of that, I was low in every type of vitamin that's on a multivitamin. I was just low in it.
Yeah.
And I had the mindset of, oh, I'll get my vitamins through food. I'll get my vitamins through, you know, whatever. A normal person, well, I don't want to say normal, but a person who has not gone through bariatric surgery can have that mindset. But I've now learned the hard way that post-bariatric surgery, you cannot expect food to give you all of your vitamins, because you will have a deficiency. So I'm now on a bunch of different vitamins, iron medicine. I now monitor my hypoglycemia. When I am getting hungry, I eat, you know. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't wait. I just like, I don't care if I had lunch an hour ago, I'm good again. So, you know, I mean, the back surgery, I think, exposed my lack of vitamins that was present already.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I don't know if I would have found it, because my insurance right now doesn't cover bariatric doctors. I just am going through my primary care.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and for vitamins and nutrients and stuff like that, like any doctor is going to be able to pinpoint that for you. It doesn't necessarily have to be a bariatric doctor.
Yeah. Right? And my primary knows, I've had the surgery. It's all in my file. It's just,
yeah.
When you're 5 years post-op, you don't think to constantly get the blood work and to constantly get those checkups.
Yeah.
But it's needed. It is needed. I can be living proof that it will affect you if you do not take your vitamins.
So. Well, and I can only imagine, I mean, just based on the food that you prep yourself, you're eating a very healthy diet.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of bariatric patients, I think, out there that rely on more convenience food or prepackaged food than not. And those, that food, while it might be high in protein, it could be lacking all of the other ingredients, all of the other, you know, macronutrients and minerals that you need for a long, healthy life. So if you're relying almost exclusively or heavily on those prepackaged food, you could be in a worse position than even you found yourself, because you eat a whole food,
back to real food, and you right? land yourself a dumping. So for me, I don't have a dumping where I go to the bathroom. I have a dumping where sodium affects my heart, so I'll get heart palpitations with sodium. So yeah. After surgery, I do combat sugar addiction. So wow. I've enforced a rule in my life where I try my hardest to eat sugar right before I go to bed, because I'll sleep off the cravings. But if I start my morning off with a donut, you better bet I'm going back for more, because the cravings kick in and you like can't stop. And I was like, oh my God, this is so good. But, yeah. You know, it's just all about controlling your body, controlling your mind, knowing what works for you, knowing what doesn't, but also knowing that when they say you really need to take this vitamin or medicine, you need to. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not mm-hmm. just saying that just because. I mean, we have half the size of a stomach. We're not absorbing as much food, and we need to supplement that. And even the vitamins aren't as strong. Bariatric vitamins are not as strong as regular multivitamins. So it is important that you do find a vitamin that does fit for you.
Yeah. And I know it's important. Jason and I, we kind of talk often about this, because we're in the same boat you are. I'm very dedicated to my vitamins. Yes. But I have relied heavily on my nutritionist that was assigned to me after surgery, because there are things that you really need to be on the lookout when it comes to vitamins, right? Because there's like a calcium and an iron. There's certain kinds that don't mix together, which is why you need to take them
together.
You can't take them together, and you need to make sure that you're hitting certain levels. So if you have any questions about what, if you're listening and you're like, oh, I wonder if my vitamin is good, reach out to your bariatric nutritionist and ask them to, like, you know, just either send them like what needs to be present in your vitamins, or let them know what you're taking, because maybe you do need to make some tweaks on your end. And as you said, it's important to check in and get those blood draws often, at least every year, because as your weight changes, so could your levels.
Blood levels.
And you need to always be matching where you're at in life with what you are doing nutritionally and with your vitamins. It's not like, okay, you can stick with one thing for the rest of your life. That might not be the case. You need to stay on top of it.
Yeah. And one thing I found out too, is that if you're craving something, you are probably deficient in that vitamin area. So yeah. I was craving salty chips, anything. And I found out that being low in iron causes those cravings.
Oh, and interesting.
Yeah. And that's, as soon as I got on my iron medicine, my cravings stopped. And so, you know, it's a whole new everything that you're just learning.
So. Right. Well, and I know that, like, for me, it came in my bariatric Bible, came with all of my, like, what types of vitamins I should be on and kind of what they are. So, you know, you may check your resources as well, whatever, you know, paperwork came with you from your surgeon, it may be in there. I know mine is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but wow. Then the last scary thing for me with the back surgery and the heart issues that I'm willing to share publicly is I did gain 20 pounds in January. Water weight, iron, getting shots in my stomach to help control. So I'm kind of okay with that 20 pound weight gain, because I now have the tools to handle it. I have the tools of the meal prep. I have the tools of the 5 years of building this new lifestyle. I now know what I need to do, and it's to just keep on doing what I do. I'm filled with a lot of water weight. I'm filled with a lot of bloat. And each new day that I'm allowed to walk more and do more activity, I do feel the water weight coming off. I do feel like I'm slowly losing the puff.
Yeah. But well, because you are still recovering from major back surgery and whatever heart thing you've got going on. So you are still in like recovery. You're PT, like you're trying to get over that. And on top of that, you're also aware of, and you are conscious of your weight gain. So you're trying to do these two things at one time and recovering from something major and then attempting to lose weight. Those are two very big things.
Yeah. And I also have to remind myself too, I was asleep for 3 months. I was on a bed for three. Yeah. So I think what I'm appreciative now is being able to say weight gain's going to happen. You're going to go through a life traumatic event and your weight might come back. I didn't gain all my weight back, obviously, you know, 20 pounds. That really is minuscule when you see how much I really weighed in the beginning.
Yeah.
But my old mind would be like, oh, I failed. Let me just keep eating. And I gave up. But no, if you just keep going, you will get back to your original size. There's no date when you need to be this size. There's no end goal. It's just, you need to keep on going. And that's what I'm kind of coaching myself through with this weight gain. You know, there's going to be another traumatic event in my life happen that's going to cause weight gain. And
yeah,
able to control, not to allow that to take over our eating habits and bring back past habits. So,
yeah. Well, and you mentioned the fact of your old brain would have been a certain way, but you also have to be careful of your new brain, because I know us post-op, anybody post-op, you see 1 or 2 pounds on the scale, you freak. You freak out. Yeah. What am I going to do? I got to do a patch reset. I got to do a full liquid for 2 weeks. I got to do this. Oh shit, I'm spiraling. I got to fix it. And you have to realize, just like April said, you know, just like we did post-op with our, you know, with our sleeves or whatever surgery it is that you went through, that your body has to heal. Like your body's going to make changes. There's going to be things like you said, you were bedridden. Like you got to give yourself a little bit of space like you said, you've got the tools, you know what to do. You just have to continue to implement the process and it'll go away just like it did before.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, you figure you're 3 months on a bed sleeping. Well, now I need 3 to 4 months active. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to see results maybe until, you know, June, July. And yeah, you look at the timeline.
Yeah, you didn't gain the 20 pounds overnight. You're not going to lose it overnight.
Yep.
No. We recently shared a graphic and it was inspired by actually one of our patrons shared something on her own feed. And it was like, okay, if you don't do anything different for a year, nothing is going to change, right? And it was kind of like this mathematical formula. And then, you know, if you do just one little thing every day for a year, it adds up to big gains. You know, it's like, you know, 1 times 365 is still one. 1.01 times 365 is a much bigger number.
Yeah.
So, right. So if you can visually imagine that, might not feel like you're doing something grand or huge, those little things add up exponentially over your year or over your life ahead of time. And the goal is not to do something immediate. The goal is to do things in a way that add up to really being this different person or looking a certain different way. But yeah, as Jason said, as you said, right, we can't just go, oh, well, I put on 20 pounds, so boom, I'm going to take it off. No, that's not how it works.
No, it doesn't work like that. Instant gratification is no longer. No. And you can't have success without failure. You know, you need to, every stepping stone you go through, there needs to be failure with that success. And if you don't quit at that failure and you just know, okay, this failure means it's working and that I'm working to rewire my brain and I'm trying, then you can push yourself through even further, but you have to be okay with the failures and not give up.
Well, and the perfect addition to what you had said, you know, with the stepping stone method, if you stand on that failure, you'll reach the next level, which is rising above that failure. If you allow yourself to slip below and to reset, you've got to go all the way back to get to the failure just to get to that next level. But if you realize the failure, build off of it, that's the height you need to jump to that next level. So that's why the old mindset's got it. We got to let that shit go and yep. build on what we have now.
The hardest part is your mind.
Oh my God. Yeah. We were talking to Mabel, I don't know, a couple of weeks back. And in that conversation, a great little tagline came out of that. We have to get it wrong to get it right.
Yeah.
And it's true. Yep.
Hey guys, it's April. Retreat Drinks Hot Cacao is my absolute favorite warm beverage. Not only is it decadent and creamy, but it's actually healthy for you. Did you know that cacao has over 40 times the antioxidants of blueberries? 40 times! Antioxidants absorb free radicals, which cause cell and tissue damage. And we are on a mission to live our best lives. Retreat Drinks is something that I incorporate almost daily into my life to make sure it's the best. You should definitely check them out. Visit their website at retreatdrinks.com and use the code EASTTOWEST for 20% off your first order. Happy sipping.
All right, so let's switch gears here now. Let's focus on your passion area in life, which is, of course, meal planning, meal prep, anything, all things meal. So we had a lot of great questions that came in from our Patreon supporters, and we're super excited to get to those as well, because they're really just focused around like, okay, how do we do this, right? We have families, we're busy, life is crazy. There's so many things out there. Like there's a lot of fluff to cut through, and you have clearly figured out how to cut through that. So I guess the first question, and maybe you really kind of have answered this, but why meal planning and prep? How did this become your passion?
Yeah, so going back to what I said before, I was forced to go this route because of teaching. When I first got hired in Virginia, I moved down from Pennsylvania. When I got hired, my kids were already to school. The day I was hired was the day of their open house. So they didn't even meet me. So I just uprooted my life and moved.
Dang.
And that's when I was eating out all the time. I was, as a teacher, you're just so overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And your first year of teaching, it's just, you're not even trying to swim above water. You're fully underwater waiting for a ladder to come up and get you. Like, you're drowning.
You are drowning. Yes, you are absolutely drowning. And on top of that, which you mentioned before, you are making not a lot of money.
No.
So, right. And the fact that you're so open about this, it has to be addressed as well, because even though you're meal prepping for yourself, there are families, there are people out there that are really struggling.
Oh yeah, financially.
You're working hard, but it's very hard to make ends meet. So to know that you can do this type of meal prep, find success for a very reasonable amount of money is awesome. Yeah. It's like mind blowing.
Which is what led me to Aldi. And the constant pattern that I spoke about before of the constantly going out, constantly getting DoorDash sent to my school. It was $25 for a DoorDash for one meal. And then I would go after school to McDonald's because I was starving. You know, my lunch would last me from, you know, lunch until literally the end of the day, because it's a normal huge portion size. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, this can't happen. I can't keep living this life. And the hardest part is you're still losing weight. And that is the part that I think causes a lot of failure with others, that you're not realizing that honeymoon phase, you can literally eat anything you want and you will lose your weight. And it's kind of scary, but you have to really lock down a new life. And, you know, I think it helped with how broke I was that I had to start doing this, and it helped with how busy I was. You know, at school now, I'm the robotics coach after school. I always help with tutoring, you know, running the school talent show, getting that all organized, playing rugby. I play rugby. Well, I don't anymore, but, you know, I played rugby. So practices on our rugby team are at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. So when I lived down by my school, I was driving up to, you know, Arlington, Alexandria area. And, you know, you have to be so, so, so prepared, but you can't be prepared if you're really not that busy, because I found out the busier life I live, the better prepared I become. And the more and more and more I do, the better and better and better I get at organizing, which is why I keep myself so busy, because a busy life means a beautiful, controlled eating with the macros already set and everything. And during this pandemic, I think it's been so hard because I don't need to meal prep. I just meal prep right now because of my view, you know.
Yeah.
People want the
block. Because you're not going anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not going anywhere. So I technically don't need that lifestyle, but it's, I've noticed like habits coming back and, you know, I'm ready to fully dive right back in and give it life back. So, but yeah, I mean, working with a really low paycheck has, is that and bariatric surgery is the number one reason what led me to meal prep. I mean, I am going to fully say my first 3-4 years of being a teacher, I qualified for low income housing.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah. Well, and I know, you know, just from conversations that Jason and I have had, I mean, Jason has a big family and a lot of people living together. And he was always telling me about Aldi or Aldi, however you guys say it. And I'm like, I don't even understand what that is until he was explaining to me like, well, this is how like I can feed my family because it's just so affordable. And then when you really start comparing, like, I mean, Jason, I mean, if you took your family out to fast food, how much would it cost?
Similar to, you know, what Catherine was talking about, DoorDash in an order, a normal order for us from Chili's for everybody here is about $78 or $80.
Wow. Yeah. And that's one
which is one meal. So
for me, that's my whole week, unless I'm going to whole paycheck, doesn't even cost that much.
Which is just insane to me.
So that's why I started producing on my blog the pay breakdown. If it's available, sometimes I lose my receipt, whatever. But that's why I show it, because even for me, you know, $70 a meal.
Yeah, that's... Now,
take that and times that by 7.
Yeah, it's not sustainable. No. So in a lot of ways, right, meal prep and meal planning helps us stay on track, and it can help us stay within our food budgets, right, depending on what we have going on in our personal lives. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, I haven't ever been in that position. I enjoy budgeting, but I don't have to worry about it in ways a lot of people do. But what I have noticed is that I can be more conscious of it because it just means I'm saving more money. So I have more money to go do the things that I want to do or clothes shop or all that kind of stuff. So it doesn't matter where you fall necessarily in the budget spectrum. Yeah. The point is that you can feed yourself and your family well in a way that's helpful for you on an amount that makes sense, that helps everybody.
Oh yeah. Well,
and what I'm coming to find out as I've had, you know, become post-op and my taste buds have kind of changed and my taste for things have changed, I can cook whatever I want to eat way better than any restaurant I can get it at, unless I go to Ruth Chris for a steak or some, you know, some ridiculous pay, you know, a couple hundred dollars for a cut of meat. No, absolutely not. So, but my thing is, like, I've become so picky. Why the hell am I going to pay you $20 for a burger that's not near as good as the shit that I cooked on my back patio a week ago? And so I really started to distance myself. Like, even when my family's like, hey, we're going to do DoorDash, we're going to do this or that, I'm like, nah, I'm good. Like, I got my stuff over here, because I'll have done that. I'll have meal prepped. I'll put 2 or 3 burgers together and I'll cook them on the thing. And I'll put, because now I started to add, you know, vegetables and onions and things like that along with it, and starting to make salads and stuff like that out of what I'm meal prepping, because I'm starting to crave that stuff a lot more than just a burger or fries and onion ring, whatever the, you know, whatever it was I would have done before. Mm-hmm. And I got past the mediocre taste before because I just didn't care. Like, I don't have time. I don't want to stand up there and cook and do all that because I'm big. It's hot. I don't like it. Like, my joints hurt. My knees hurt. Like, I don't have time for that shit. So I just go through and get 5 or 6 burgers and plow through those disgusting things. And it's just, you know, then it's whatever. But now that I have such limited space, I want to enjoy what I'm eating. And so now I'm starting to distance, like I said, I'm distancing myself from all that other, you know, the process stuff, because it's a waste to me. I get almost upset about it now because I'm like, well, I could have done way better myself with my air fryer and the frozen chicken wings that I buy by the duffel bag, because I just can't do it. I'll have three or four of those in the air fryer at lunch and I'm golden. Like, I love it. So it's like, why would I go to Hooters and pay $40 to DoorDash Hooters wings? And by the time they get here, they're all soggy and gross because they've been in some dude's car for an hour while he's lost trying to find my house. Like, I just don't. I've got all the DoorDash horror stories and I'm just like, I'm just not done. Like, it's really not. Like, for the amount they charge and for some dude to call me and go, yeah, it's at the door. And I'm like, no, it's not. I'm at my door and you're not here. Oh, well, I guess I left it at somebody else's house. Let me go grab it and I'll bring it back. And by that time, you're just like, ugh. Like, I don't even. Yeah.
But even like, it's also, you can even taste the chemical difference, you know, and then you start craving. Mm-hmm. And when you're craving something, you know, you've eaten the chemical.
Yeah.
That's bringing you back for more. And absolutely. I was not able to recognize that before bariatric surgery. But I can recognize that now. So it's just something too that I've picked up on, that eating out all the time is, I get those cravings.
And, you know, in our conversations with Dr. Ortiz and just in conversations with a lot of people in the medical community, our food is engineered to be addicting, right? Like, our food is chemically engineered so that we want more of it and more often and certain kinds of it. And once you kind of get into that place, it's really hard to break out of it. And the only way that we get out of it is to eat real foods that we prepare ourselves that are free from that engineering that has been happening. That's it. That's kind of the only way out of it. And it's not an easy transition. No. But if we want to live a long, healthy life at a weight that's healthy for us, we have to make food ourselves. And we have to know what we are putting in our bodies. We have to know what has gone into that food. That's it. That's all that we can do.
Yep.
Well, and okay. I started to notice as well that we are around here in Florida, where I'm at in Jacksonville, we have a lot of meat markets that are farm to table flat. Like, there's nothing, no anything.
Oh, cool.
And if you can find one of those, they tend to run a lot cheaper and run bulk sales because the stuff doesn't last as long due to not being chemically engineered.
Yeah.
So you can find, like, there's one of the meat markets here that sells 10-pound bags of chicken.
Wow.
For like $10. So, I mean, that's a lot of chicken. Like, you can freeze it and you're good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the type of stuff that you can run across if you do it the right way. So instead of going to Whole Paycheck or someplace like that just wants to charge you all that extra money because their meat's better. I've started hitting butcher shops for some of that stuff just simply because of the sales they have.
Well, I mean, think about it. Small farmers are being cut out of kind of the industrial food of America, but this is their passion. So they're still going to do what they do. But if they're not invited to participate in the big process, they can participate in the small process and the farmers markets. And like what you said, in these little butcher shops, you're supporting local people in your community and you're probably buying food that is actually healthier for you. You're buying products that are not processed, that are not chemically treated, that will aid you in your recovery. So you're really doing two things. You're supporting yourself and you're supporting people in your own community.
Yeah, sure.
It takes a little bit more effort because I need to sleuth them out or I need to have freezer space and all this kind of stuff. But short-term discomfort for long-term gains is good for everybody.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So where do you start, Catherine, in your meal prep process? Do you start like, with food that you have on hand, or are there new recipes that you want to try? Like where do you start your process?
So that's actually a good question. Each week I start all over the place, but the biggest thing I do is I start with my Fitness Pal, and that is, so it looks like that right there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know a lot of people have heard of my Fitness Pal, but any really macro counter, really, you know, that's kind of what I use. But I start with a plan. I write down, what do I like to eat? I write down, what do I know I want for breakfast? And, You do see a lot of scrambled eggs in my breakfast because I just love scrambled eggs. I just love it. But that's the thing. You need to meal prep something that you are so looking forward to eat over and over and over again. So meal prepping is not for everybody. There's sometimes meal prepping is not even for me, but I do it. But it's all about, you need to make something you're excited to eat. You can't just have lettuce and chicken breast and call it a salad. You need to add so much more onto that to make it an exciting salad. You know, you want to make your food magnificent, and you just want to make your food good, because eating is what led us to bariatric surgery. Food is what led us to this lifestyle. But I don't want to take away my love for food. I just want to choose better foods to love. And that's where I kind of start. I also look at other Instagrams. I look at other Pinterest. But I also research vitamins. So I'll Google what foods are high in iron. And then a list pops up: spinach, beets, steak. Then I Google what's high in fiber: broccoli, chia seeds, which is why, you know, I get a lot of hate for my Chunky Monkey overnight oat recipe, but I don't have to take a laxative. I don't have to take pills to help me go to the bathroom, because I have chia seeds, flax seeds, and stewed cut oats. And that meal right there, the fiber is...
Well, and people think like after surgery, after bariatric surgery, oh, I'm never going to have a carb again. No, that's actually not, you're going to kill yourself if you never have a carb again, right? Yep. So we need to eat complex carbs, not simple carbs. We need to eat these carbs that are, I always say it's like bang for your buck, right? Like eating overnight oats is going to give you nutrients, fiber, protein, all this kind of stuff that's actually healthy for you. And it's very complex. Your body's working to break that down. It's very different than me eating a tablespoon of sugar. Yeah. Right. So both are carbs, but let's really talk about that. And Dr. Ortiz, in our conversation with him, he just really goes back to, you have to eat the rainbow of foods. You need carbs, you need fat, you need protein, you need all the macronutrients in the right wedge, right? And the right type of carb. So that was actually a question that we got from our patrons. They love following you. They think you're magnificent, but you're very egg heavy. And sometimes right after surgery, we can't tolerate eggs, or we can't tolerate, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables. So what type of breakfast food, or what thing would you recommend that people substitute if they don't like eggs or they can't tolerate eggs?
So one thing I've actually started doing is sharing my meals and what I ate in a day and what I prepped in a day from that first year. I just posted something, I think 2 or 3 days ago, and it's a liquid protein shake that I made. It's yogurt, and then it's Premier Protein, and I think like some grapes. I can't really remember. That's all I could fit. But I don't think I had eggs or fresh vegetables until maybe 6 to 8 months after, maybe even a year. And I really, really stuck with the plain protein powder, any brand, just no flavor. And I would make myself spinach, avocado, banana smoothies, and pour the plain protein powder in there. And you can use, I don't drink milk. I just don't like the taste, but I would just use water and ice. And I'm drinking a blended avocado, spinach, and banana. You know, with the protein powder. So that's kind of where it all started, just, you know, with incorporating the fresh fruits. And I just didn't want to go and get this like protein scoop, and I'm drinking chalk stuff. But, you know, if you're still not able to tolerate foods, eggs are really not that high in protein. So you might even be better off just building yourself a smoothie that is a little bit lower in fruit, but higher with the blended vegetables.
And my go-to recently has been tofu. I know that it sounds crazy. Jason always kind of rolls his eyes at me when I say this, but But it's a whole food. You can buy organic. It's super high in protein. There's a lot of macronutrients that are in there, and you can blend it up as a smoothie. You can even do like a tofu scramble, right? There's all kinds of recipes out there for that as well. And the other thing that I think can free people from like the breakfast, lunch, and dinner mindset is that you can eat whatever you want. Yeah. If you don't like eggs, or if you can't tolerate eggs, you can have dinner for breakfast, right? You can make yourself any type of savory or sweet, whatever you're kind of craving. You can eat it at any time of day. Nobody is saying that you have to have these things in this certain order. And really what you said, I think, is key. You have to start with what you like.
Yeah.
And not worry about what you don't like, because this is your world and you need to eat what is going to bring you a lot of joy, because you can only have so few bites. You gotta pack those few bites with as much flavor and nutrient as you possibly can.
Oh yeah. And that kind of goes along with my blog. You're eating my diary. So if you don't like what I make, I can't help you. I'm just posting what I eat. I am starting to put out more recipes that you can interchange to put in a meal prep, but you know, at the end of the day, you have to eat. I get a lot of comments of like, I can't eat this. You don't have to. You can eat what you want. I'm not here to tell you to eat this. I'm not here to say you have to eat this for maintenance. I'm just here to say this is my lifestyle that has kept me with 5 years of maintenance. But the foods, you know, I am working right now with someone, and I am I'm more coaching her through the meal prep process. I'm not on like a dietitian level. I'm not like, you know, you need to eat this. No, because that's dietitian level. But it's just guiding through the process is what I'm helping her with. And we just started off by making a list of fruits, vegetables, dairy, protein, and carbs that she liked. And, you know, that's where it starts. It just starts with what do you like? And she now can pick from her list of foods and, you know, recreate the wheel. Yeah. And, you know, it just comes down to that. I mean, your plate is a canvas. Cooking is art. And you just have to be okay with getting uncomfortable in the kitchen and trying new and being okay with failing.
Well, Jason often talks about this, because Jason and I have very different flavor profiles. We kind of like different foods. What are your go-to things, Jason? Because I know that there's things that you like always have, you always have in your freezer or your fridge.
Yeah, I always, a lot of ground turkey, either turkey burger, frozen turkey burger patties. I'll use those all the time because they're quick and easy. I can do one of those on my lunch. I usually do 5 or 6 at a time just so I can have them throughout the week and knock those out really easy. I'm going to try something new that I'm super excited about. I got ground chicken today because I saw a recipe last night where somebody made a pizza crust out of chicken.
Ground chicken is so good.
Ground chicken pizza crust, and they made a whole pizza up out of with the ground chicken crust. And so I just literally before we jumped on here, I just got back from the store buying all the stuff to make a ground chicken pizza. So I'm fucking pumped for that. I've been doing with ground turkey and stuff. I uploaded my meatloaf recipe last week, so I do a lot of that stuff, a lot of quick and easy bite-sized stuff. So I broke the meatloaf down into muffin tins. Because you take two of those. Some people can only take one, but I take two at a time and just, you know, knock them in there and just do a real small, like, chunk of green beans or something and knock that out real quick. And that's easy that I can go back to multiple times because I set them up with different flavor profiles. Like, one side of the muffin tins I can do with sugar-free barbecue sauce, and then the other side I can do with regular, you know, tomato paste or whatever, however it is. You can I always completely mix stuff up, and then I'll always keep a duffel bag of wings in the freezer so that way I can just grab a handful at a time. Because I do, I'll get on a kick where I'll eat wings for lunch and dinner for a week straight.
Hey guys, it's April. I just want to give a shout out to our very first podcast sponsor, Gather Juice Company. They're located in my backyard. That's right, Grit City, Tacoma, Washington. and their juices, shots, cleanses, and toasts have really made a difference in my bariatric recovery. If you live locally, swing by their 6th Avenue location and pick up something that you will enjoy yourself. And if you don't live locally, send them a quick direct message and just let them know you appreciate their sponsorship of East to West. You've got this, and we've got you.
Well, and what I also appreciate about how you kind of approach it, Jason, is that, I mean, I know you've got a lot of people in your house. You've got people coming and going constantly in your house. And the fact that you always start, and I think all three of us, we always start with our protein, right? Like that's, if we're building a meal for just us or if we're building a meal for 10 people, we start with what is the protein? And I'm going to make sure that that tastes amazing because that's probably all that I'm going to be able to eat. But then you can prepare sides for everybody else that is delicious and nutritious. And if you have the capacity, you can eat some of that, but other people are going to enjoy them as well. And that's how I do it at my house too. I always start with a protein and then I build out a salad and a vegetable and then maybe like a carb or a starch for Grady, for my husband. So I might have a meatball and like a tablespoon of quinoa, but he's going to have multiple meatballs, a bigger serving of quinoa, and then a tiny green salad that I'm going to make just for him. Or I'll have a little bit of his green salad and he'll have the rest. Right. So it's a way that we can kind of meal prep out to accommodate everybody's needs. And I saw that you did this, Catherine, the other day. You were, I think, prepping for your parents. You did that, the feta, right? And you're like, well, my dad requested chicken. Well, you made him a breaded chicken and then you poured it on top of that chicken. But I was like, but that's so ingenious because instead of putting it over pasta, you could make yourself an unbreaded grilled chicken. You're going to have that. You're going to do a quick bread for your dad, which doesn't take any more time really. Nope. And then a salad, right? Yep. So you're building this complete meal for everybody, but you're starting with your protein. Everybody else is going to have the whole meal. You're just starting there. For you.
Yeah.
Well, and what I've noticed, like we get a lot of people saying, you know, well, what about my kids? My kids won't eat that. My kids this, you know, and I get it. Kids, you know, kids suck when it comes to planning meal stuff. I love my kids. I love my grandkids, but damn, you just want to smack them sometimes. So what I've figured out is they want what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So you make a big deal out of what you have. Before you even tell them, don't tell them what it is. Don't tell them what's in it. Don't do all that breakdown. Like, here's the menu. Here's how it works. Like, nah, you just start eating it. You make a big deal out of it. Oh, I can't eat anything without my grandkids being attached to each of my hips going, what do you got? What is it? Hey, I want some. Yeah, give me some. Like, there's times I've had to remake my whole bowl because they plow through everything I've got. And it doesn't matter what it is. If you just make a big deal out of what you're eating, they're going to follow. They're going to want some. So I do that instead of being like, hey, what's for dinner? I'd be like, hey, I'm making something special. I can't wait for you to try it. And they fall in line. They're like, the other night they ate clam chowder. I don't even eat clam chowder. My wife made it and she was making a big deal out of the bowl. And they were just like, oh my God, I want some. And they each had a bigger bowl than I could eat of clam chowder. And so and my daughter just sits there in amazement. Like, they won't ever eat any of that for me. And I'm like,
But you kind of said something magical when they said, oh, what's that? You didn't say what it is. You said, oh my gosh, it is so good. I can't wait for you to try it. They really don't care what it is, but you didn't tell them what it is. You just said, oh my God, this is so amazing. And grandpa's making this. And this is like a special meal.
Something special. Pop, yeah. Something special. Pop's trying just for you guys. And I can't wait for you
but
to try.
Where it like- starts with your mindset. And if you don't just allow yourself to please the child and you hype up the meal and you hype up your lifestyle. You don't even need to say, oh, I'm making a lifestyle change and you're all joining. No, just do what you've said and hype up the meal, you know, and that's psychology based. That's coming out of trying to win the brain over. I mean, you need to sell your food. You need to sell dinner time to your kids. And you know, I think so many families are just so over the meltdowns at dinner that they do honestly just want their kids to just eat whatever they want. But it comes with the change of your language. And it comes with the change of, like I said earlier, what you put into your shopping cart ends up coming home. So don't put it into your shopping cart. And it comes with the, you know, positive reinforcement of, oh, this is so good. You're going to love it, you know. And also one thing I've been seeing on TikTok lately is kids cooking. Mm-hmm. You know, I know we're busy. I know we're crazy. I know as a parent, your day is stressful. Now you got to come home and, you know, cook for your family, but let them help.
Oh, yeah. You know,
let them learn to love.
My grandkids help all the time, and they think it's great. They think it's the neatest thing ever.
Oh, yeah. And it's bonding.
Yeah, I it's most people know I do not have children, but if I ever am blessed with them, then I would hope that I would be the mom. Grady and I would be the parents where cooking is, it's just a part of life, and and you have to help. I don't want to say you have to, but you know, it should be something joyful to learn how to nourish your body with real whole foods and to learn how to do it. That's just a part of family time. It's just something that you do together as a family. It's something I did growing up. We had to contribute to the meal. We had to help, not all the time, but every now and then. But it gets you in the mindset of, well, this is just what you do. This is how families work together. This is how they connect. This is how they, you know, that they build a relationship, because food can be family, and food is more than just eating it. It's the prepping it, it's the buying it, it's the preparing it, it's learning how food is chemistry, and that can all be a joyous part of family life.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, and I, you know, and I go through that where the kids go, we want McDonald's, we want chicken nuggets, we want fries. Well, of course you do. You're 2 and 4. That's all you're ever going to want. If we ate that 3 times a day, every day, that would be amazing to you. And we would always have 100 pounds. But can't do that. So here's what we're going to do. Like, and I'll tell them, you know, McDonald's isn't going anywhere. Like, yeah, we can try that. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. Maybe we'll do it another time. But for now, this is what we're going on. So, you know, we're going to do this. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So, you know, that's just kind of how I just kind of redirect, because I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. I would love that too. However, we're going to do this because we've already started making it. So now let's do this. Why don't you help me do this? And, you know, it just kind of shifts everything back over into what you've already got going on.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Okay. So we have a couple more questions from our patrons. One of them was, what do you do when you're feeling bored? How do you mix things up in the kitchen if you're just getting burnt out on maybe the same types of foods?
So that probably is the hardest part of meal prepping, is combating the just the continued of the same meal. So I've started keeping whole grain rice and quinoa on hand. Some of the things I make, like my salads I make, those salads don't just need to be a salad. You can throw that in a frying pan, cook up some rice, add some soy sauce. And, you know, you're not eating a huge rice bowl. You're not eating a huge quinoa bowl. You're eating a very small, like an eighth cup or, you know, sometimes not even an eighth cup, but that prepped salad box is all done for me. And now I can just tweak it. Sometimes I throw it in a wrap. I'll keep corn tortillas, not the flour tortillas, because they do, the flour tortillas kind of upset my stomach, but I'll do the corn tortilla and I keep that on hand and I throw my salad in the corn tortilla. So it's all about, you know, it's okay to step off of your meal prep. If you're bored, switch it up, you know, get creative, add something else into it, you know, and you know, and try something new.
What I've really found is that when I'm feeling uninspired by what I'm eating, I think about an ingredient, a single ingredient that I've been really wanting to explore or try, something that's brand new. And I'll just play around in the kitchen for that whole week and figure out, oh, well, how could I cook this? Or what would this be good in? Right. And it's nice because it gets you out of your comfort zone a little bit. It fires different parts of your brain and you really get to trial and error some things. And then it's fun because if you enjoy it, you can figure out different ways of incorporating it into a meal. Mm-hmm. So like quinoa is something that I'm back kind of on. And I found that if I just make, you know, a big bowl of cooked quinoa, I can totally mix it up during the week. So like one day I might want to have more an Italian inspired like salad. So I'll have cold quinoa and cucumbers and some kalamata, olives, and a little bit of dressing. Amazing. Well, then the next day I can make that like Asian style. I can do soy sauce and tofu and some mushrooms or miso paste. And then the next day I can make it savory. Maybe I'm going to throw a little maple syrup on it and just have that. So, I mean, you know, that one simple ingredient can be done so many different ways that doesn't take a lot of time and that it is done, you know, with flavor as the main thing that I'm going for. Different texture, different flavors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and you also awesome. don't forget too that Google, YouTube, and TikTok is a thing. So if you feel something, you can always research different ways to do it. And you'll find things that you never even imagined out there that you can try with stuff. So don't feel like all the ideas have to come from you. You can look, or Pinterest, you can look lots of places to find this stuff. And it's funny that you said that flour upsets your stomach, because I can't do corn tortillas at all.
Oh, wow.
I can damn near eat my weight in flour tortillas and be fine. But if I touch a corner of a corn tortilla, ooh, it'll double me over quick.
Yeah.
Well, and that is the power of experimenting, right? Of getting curious, of figuring out what you can tolerate, what you cannot tolerate, and then building your meals around what tastes good to you, what is nutritious, and what fuels you instead of the opposite of that.
Yeah.
The other question that we had was, how can we get the biggest bang for our buck when we can only enjoy a few bites of food? So what are some tips or tricks that you can recommend for really packing the flavor into a few bites of food?
So I think it gets easier the further and further away you get from your surgery date. You know, and I always want to remind everybody that I didn't start going full hardcore of my meal preps now until year 3 and 4. I was still on the liquid. I was still on the yogurts and, you know, the ground up chicken, everything. So, the biggest thing though is I do have that problem. It is just me right now. You know, my girlfriend lives all the way in Wisconsin. So, you know, and I live here. So when I am prepping, I am just prepping for me. But before the pandemic, I would bring leftovers to friends and teachers at school. So that's kind of how I did that. Or I would say, oh, I tried this new recipe, you know, and I would just stuff it in some Tupperware containers and go give it to them. Yeah. But it is a challenge though, because even though I'm only spending $25 to $30 a week, I do have a lot of food left over. And if you don't cook that, it does spoil the next week. So that's the hard part of buying fresh. You have to eat so much of it or it will spoil. So it is a balancing act. You know, it's a huge game, but that's where, if you have neighbors bring the food over, if you do live with somebody at home, you know, you can add anything you make to a meal. So whenever I do have leftover broccoli, because sometimes the size of broccoli that I get from the stores, it's too big for my whole week.
Ginormous.
You know, I'll either rice it, or I'll try a new recipe, or I'll, you know, that's where you kind of do get creative. But that probably is the hardest part, is figuring out what to do with all of the food. I think it would be easier if there was food like that I had to share with someone, but that's where just bringing your leftovers to whoever you can is how I look at it.
Yeah. Yep. Awesome. Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, I think we did it. Although I'm pretty sure we could continue to talk for probably days about this topic, because it is on the surface, it's very simple, but when you really break it down, there's a lot of different angles and avenues and things that we can do to fit our needs. But I think this gave us a really great place to start, and it gave us some really good things to think about when it comes to how we can approach meal prep and meal planning. So at the end of our conversation, we love to just give our guests like the floor. Is there anything that you think we missed, or is there a quote or saying that really helps you get through a difficult time along our bariatric journeys?
So, you know, a quote or saying that I always say is, and I teach my students this, it's to fail with pride. Don't fail with upset, fail with pride, because that failure means you're learning. And if you had a bad eating day, you're not going to start on Monday where the new week is resetting. You're going to start the next day you wake up, or you're going to start at the next meal. And another thing that I keep on telling myself right now is to just keep going. I am now in a spot where I have built foundations for my blog, for my TikTok, and just even, you know, now gaining 20 pounds, I've built the foundation of the healthy lifestyle for 4 years, that now my fifth year, I'm putting on the weight from my back surgery. I now just need to keep going with the lifestyle I built and I'll be back to where I am. Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, when you're learning how to rewire your brain for eating healthy, you just have to keep going. You have to start asking yourselves questions. You have to start researching and you need to start getting involved on Pinterest, Instagram. You know, the very first thing I started 4 years ago was following hashtags. I would follow the hashtag fruit, vegetable, you know, broccoli. And you get all these meals on these hashtags that have meals with that ingredient in it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the more you expose yourself to different meals, the more you feel like you're prepared to create. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not everything needs a recipe. Just go try it.
Yes.
Go ahead.
You bring up a really good point. You know, if you follow people who are doing what you want to do, you will grow in your confidence and pretty soon you'll be doing it too.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, if we fill our feed with what we want to become, we will become that. And if we fill our feed with what we want to create, we will create that. So, and I think people just don't quite understand, you know, how they can utilize technology in that way. So just saying something as simple as follow a hashtag or, you know, use those keyword searches, you're going to get all kinds of inspiration that you didn't even know was out there and is there for you to access.
Yeah. And going on, adding on to your quote, I teach my students this because I kind of live like this. You are who you hang with. You are who you eat. You are who you associate yourself with. If you're the food you're associating yourself with, you're going to be that food. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, one thing I really want all of our followers to understand and know is that if you want to do something, do it, because all you have to do is keep on doing it. And the hardest part of obesity, getting to obesity and fighting obesity, is battling through the discipline, the depression, the food addiction, and just constantly adapting small changes every day, every minute, every hour. Like just little changes will eventually become a habit, which then turns to a lifestyle. And you know, that's why I don't really feel like I failed right now with this 20 pound weight gain. It's more I know my lifestyle, because 4 years ago I was adding little tools that have now slowly just become normal. And that's how it takes to change your life. You have to start small if you want the big, and you have to start small if you want the outcome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are 1,000% on board with all of that. So Catherine, where can people follow you? I know that you have a huge TikTok following, of course, and you're also very big on Instagram. So where can they connect with you?
So what was supposed to start in January was my life coaching. So I am starting life coaching, and I do want to know that no, I will not be doing nutritional, because I do get a lot of nutritional questions and I kind of just refer them to other bariatric nutritions online. Yeah. But one thing that everybody can start looking forward to is I am starting my life coaching of, if you need guidance, if you want a question, Q&A about bariatric surgery, if you need to just speak to me about the process of, I get a lot of questions of, do you regret it? You know, are you happy? You know, I will tell you the honest answer. So whatever questions, you know, I'm not going to tell you to go get surgery. We're just going to have a conversation and you get to choose at the end of the day. So, you know, I do want everybody to know, I do not answer my messages inside of TikTok. I have over 3 million messages and some of them are horrible. They're pictures and videos that so unfortunately TikTok friends, you don't get my attention. You'll get my attention on a comment. You'll get my attention on a comment on Instagram or TikTok. With Instagram, I do get a lot more, you know, messages on Instagram, not as much, but they're not as harsh on it. Like Instagram's not harsh. Mm-hmm. TikTok is like a battle zone. It's like with
It's like Twitter.
And I'm not even on Twitter, but yeah, kind of, yeah. So TikTok, they come after you. Oh, you're using too much plastic. Ew, you didn't use plastic. Oh my goodness, you know, you're touching the fruit with your hands. Well, oh my goodness, you know, you can't wear gloves when you grocery store shop. So there's no right answer. There's no right or like, no matter what you do, it will be wrong for someone and it will be right for somebody else. And if you can just understand the concept of how mentally ill some people are that are not getting the help they need, then I'm not going to give them comments. I'm only going to give, you know, the best I can attention to the positive ones. Sometimes I'll slip up and I'll just comment my emotion back, but then I'm just like, I don't know. But the best way to find me is on Instagram. And even with my blog, I'm getting spammed. So Instagram's the best. And, you know, life coaching, I'm really looking forward to meeting with some people who have a lot of questions to ask. So I want to be able to offer that to them and lifestyle questions. So.
Oh yeah. No, and that's, and I could definitely see too, where, you know, so some people really do want that one-on-one help when it comes to like, how do I just start meal prepping?
Yep.
So, you know, to have your undivided attention, if you will, when it comes to walking people through your method and how you have learned to do things would be invaluable. So I think, awesome. I mean, kudos to you. So on Instagram and TikTok, they can find you at Bariatric Queen, right?
Yes, that's my name for both. I'm also at Bariatric Queen on Pinterest, but I'm not as vocal.
Active there.
I'll just post the links to my blog. But every Sunday, well, not for the past 3 months, but every Sunday I post my meal prep. So my photo that you'll see on Instagram leads to, it tells people to go to the link in my bio and click on meal prep of the week. But if that photo on Instagram that you found is not the meal prep of the week, you'll just go to past meal preps in my link tree. And that's where you'll find the photo to, you know, the photo you're looking for or the photo.
Yes. So, yeah.
Awesome. The hardest part is just people don't know where the bio is.
I know. We've discovered that too, right? But we are here to help anybody. So if you guys don't know what we're talking about when we say link in bio, just send us a quick direct message on Instagram, or you literally go to our pages, our Instagram home pages, and you guys will see there's like an internet link in the bio and that little blurb that says what we are, who we do, all that kind of good stuff. If you click that link in our bio, it's going to take you to a bunch of other links. And that's where you can find all kinds of great information. Because
yes, that's where you can order your hydro jug.
Exactly.
That is my... That was my medicine post-surgery.
Oh, dude. Hydro Jug is one of my favorite water drinking vessels. Jason has one that he loves, but Nat and I are on the Hydro Jug train along with you and all kinds of other people. Because it's awesome. You fill it up one time, you don't have to fill it up again.
Uh-huh. That's why I do that. I fill it up once, and I'm good. And then I fill it up again, depending on how sick I am. And
Yeah. You're on the 2 jug a day. Oh, man. I wish I could get there. I'm working my way there, but...
Life has forced me to be the 2 jug a day. It is not normal for me, but the busier you are, the more thirstier you get. So it becomes easier when you're busier to drink too.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? Oh my goodness. Well, Catherine, thank you so very much for joining us today. We know you are a very busy human. We know you got work, recovery, all that kind of good stuff. And of course your meal prep extraordinaire. So we appreciate having a moment of your time today. Thank you very much for joining us. If you guys don't follow her, absolutely take the time, go follow her on the platform that you enjoy the most, because you are really going to get inspired to shake things up in your kitchen.
Thank you.
All right. Yes. So if you guys are watching and you're following us, we encourage you to support East to West in maybe a different way. You can like our channel. You can subscribe to everything that we do. You can become a Patreon supporter, which means that for like $5 a month, you're just helping us make sure that this support continues. It helps like literally pay the bills on the back end. So, and it also gets you early access to episodes, invitations to like invitation only events with guests like Catherine, and all kinds of other awesome opportunities to support and kind of engage in a different way. So if you'd like to know more about becoming a patron, head to the Patreon website, patreon.com/east2westwls, and you can learn all about it. You can also, of course, just send us a direct message. Did I miss anything, Jason, my friend?
I don't think so. For everybody that's already liked, shared, supported, followed, all of those things, you can also leave us reviews on YouTube or any of your favorite podcast player. We need as many reviews as possible to keep kind of jumping the podcast up towards the top. We're actually 134th on the charts in alternative medicine in the United States, and we're actually lower than that in Canada. So we're really killing it lately. So the more, as many of those reviews as we can get, we appreciate that. And we thank you guys so much for all the support that you've given us so far.
Yep. And if there's a topic that you would like us to explore, if there's support or content that you wish was out there, but you just can't find it yet, let us know. Send us a direct message. Leave us a voicemail on our Anchor homepage. But definitely reach out to us, because our goal is to create meaningful and valuable content that makes an impact in our lives as bariatric patients. That's the whole reason why we do this. We want to support this community. So if you're not finding that support, let us know so we can create it for you. I think we did it, you guys. This is a power-packed episode, but it was awesome on so many different levels. So Jason, you want to take us out, my friend?
I do. Catherine, we thank you so much again for joining us. So very nice to meet you. We love the conversation that we had today, and I think our listeners are going to get a lot of good tips and tricks out of this, and implement those in your life the ways you see fit that helps you the best. And just remember, at the end of the day, you've got this, we've got you, and we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.